HarperCollins presents The Lost Ones by Anita Frank, read by Olivia Dowd. Chapter 1. Sunday, the 6th of May, 1917. The brass plaque, polished so it shone like burnished gold, was mounted pride of place on the chantry wall, a new, if unwelcome, addition to the village church. Our boxed family pew was situated directly opposite, and rather than crick my neck to observe the vicar intoning from his elevated position in the pulpit, I found myself captivated by the ornate inscription. In memory, Robert Richardson, 2nd Lieutenant, 3rd Militia Battalion, Berkshire Regiment. Beloved only son of Mr. and Mrs. Henry Richardson. Killed in actual fighting in France, 2nd of July 1916, aged 18 years. Duty nobly done. I closed my eyes for a moment as I recalled the blissful summer of 1914, all baking heat and leisurely pleasures, a cricket match on the village green. I remembered a willowy schoolboy, a muss of ruffled blonde hair, cheeks dimpled by an irrepressible grin, a streak of red down the thigh of his white flannels, a powerful run-up, a perfect windmill arm, the satisfying clatter of stumps, a smatter of applause. They never found his body. His parents had been forced to settle for the plaque rather than a grave. He was just 18 years old, a schoolboy officer fresh from the fields of Eton. As I read and reread the words, my fingers strayed to the gold locket that hung against my black coat. It no longer gleamed, dulled as it was by too much caressing. I finally managed to tear my eyes away, but my gaze only strayed as far as the front pew, settling on the poor boy's parents. They sat shoulder to shoulder, rigid with grief. Mrs. Richardson, once a charismatic, vibrant woman, had been greatly reduced by her son's death. Her plump and rosy cheeks were now sunk into hollows, giving her a cadaverous appearance, while her finely appointed mourning clothes sagged over her diminishing frame. I had no doubt she was aware of another mother, sitting just a few rows back. Mrs. Whittaker's broad shoulders shook with misery, for her anguish was still fresh and raw. We three cast sombre shadows, stagnant pools of grief amidst the amassed congregation. I returned my focus to the vicar's monotonous monologue purporting to the value of sacrifice, but it wasn't long before I found myself shifting irritably on the unforgiving pew. My experiences nursing in France with a voluntary aid detachment had exposed faith as a fallacy. I had seen too much barbaric waste to still believe we were being guided by a higher purpose. The vicar's words now did little to change my opinion. Not for the first time that morning, I wished I hadn't come. But my parents had made it very clear that my weekly attendance at the Sunday service was an issue of duty, if not belief. My presence, it seemed, was not a matter for discussion. I let out a soft sigh as I fidgeted again, my impatience and discomfort rising. The respectful attention the congregation afforded the vicar's words annoyed me. Apart from old man Withers, who at 91 was forgiven for nodding off during services, my fellow parishioners were focused on the pulpit. I was the only one in this aged church who had seen firsthand the unmitigated destruction of life. Perhaps it was a kindness to allow them their naivety, their conviction in the righteousness of this conflict. Let them be dedicated to their holy war, to their God's will. But I could no longer share that dedication.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?